Well, there's been no shortage of goings-on in Parliament Hill as of late, nor a shortage of happenings within the ranks of Erin O'Toole's Conservative Party. Last week, MP Rob Morrison was in Nelson for one of his regular visits to this part of the constituency. Full disclosure, Mr. Morrison made his first ever visit to KCR Studios. We had a great chat, but turns out a technical snafu nixed the entire conversation. So MP Morrison is back on the line from Creston this morning, Rob, or from Cranbrook?
Cranbrook this morning.
From Cranbrook. Well, talk about serving your constituents and giving us a second kick at the can. Thanks a lot, Mr. Morrison, for being with us. First off, we'll start where we started last week. What brought you over the Salmo Creston last week for a visit to Nelson? What'd you do?
Well, last week, thanks for having me on, Darren. But I had some meetings last week with quite a few folks on things such as the agriculture and getting more support with knowing how fragile our farming system was. We're trying to get people more involved in the teaching and helping people with growing, depending on soil qualities and soil composition and that. But also on the tech world, knowing that Nelson is a huge tech resource. Working with some people there that are innovative in trying to move forward with their businesses to help out and with co-ops and that sort of thing.
You get a chance to have a visit with Ken Kolesnikoff and his crew as well. I thought that was on the
I met with the Kolesnikoff family sawmill, the new glue plant that they have, and fantastic. They have a huge plant that's run by a lot of young people because it's a lot of it's electronic where they're going through a computer system. It's precision building of material that is used for schools. Like right now they're building a school for Vancouver that's all prefabbed and that. So they've really upped their ability to work as a small sawmill in a specific way, and their expertise is this laminate type factory where they have two different processes. One is laminating large beams and another is laminating walls. So they've really built some new innovative equipment. I'm quite proud of the Kolesnikoff family sawmill.
Yeah, they're always a going concern out there at the Junction. BC's exporter of the year, in fact. Let's jump into some of the bigger developments on the federal and international front since we spoke to you last week. Firstly, Canada's ambassador to China returned home for strategic talks on how the feds should deal with Beijing's increasingly aggressive foreign policy, including the trials of two imprisoned Canadians. Sanctions are the first effort. We're talking about an economic superpower here, though, MP Morrison. It seems like we're kind of poking the bear with a stick. What can Canada do to try and get China to cooperate on this very difficult diplomatic issue?
Well, we do a lot of trade with China. So what's surprising is that we haven't sat down and said, we need to talk about the Michaels and people from other countries that go to China that are held innocent victims of whatever the Chinese government feels that they have done or could have done. But I think we really need to be forceful in saying, if we are going to deal with you, here's our requirements. And even though we're a smaller country and we don't have the military power, which we're not even talking about that kind of aggression, but we do have, our country supplies them with a lot of raw materials to build, for example, steel with our metallurgical coal that we do, things like that that we provide them with. It's time to sit and play hardball and say, here's what we're kind of going towards, and if not give them money. Like I think it was this week or last week that the government just provided them with $40 million or $40 billion on an Asian Development Bank. I mean, those sorts of things we have to stop doing until we get some answers and get some results to bring those Michaels home.
Is it imperative, MP Morrison, that we team up with the United States, Britain, and the EU, some of our allies, to make a difference? China is an incredibly strong and certainly economically resilient nation.
Yeah, and I think that the U.S. has already, and I do believe the other countries, are like the Five Eyes, for example, they're all saying that, hey, this is wrong, but you're right. If we had an ally and we went together, a contingent of five countries and sat down and said, even though these two Michaels are Canadian, the other countries are also sending, you know, representatives there. And, of course, same thing could happen to them. So it's time we got into to China to say, okay, yeah, we're releasing the Michaels, and now from now on, we will work with the Five Eyes, for example, in import export, so that everybody's treated fairly.
The biggest elephant in the room, certainly for you, given the diverse political nature and interests of the and concerns of your constituents, those who voted for you, those who did not. 2 days ago, your party's leader Aaron O'Toole declared, "quote the debate is over," unquote, on climate change. It's real, says Mr. O'Toole. But the next day, it was announced that the 3,100 voting delegates that the convention had narrowly rejected a resolution to add language into the party's policy book saying that we recognize that climate change is real, the Conservative Party is willing to act. So a two-part question, Mr. Morrison. O'Toole wants to be wants to broaden the Conservative base. How difficult is something like this going to make it to woo voters from the left?
Yeah, okay. So first of all, I'll talk about O'Toole, who has said before the convention and after the convention, in the mainstream media, he's been very consistent in saying climate change is real. And as far as the caucus goes, we've all been supportive of climate change and wanting to do make some action and deliver a cleaner, greener environment. So what's hard for O'Toole will be the mainstream media doesn't generally pick up a lot of his comments. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with the delegation, that was a clause in a sub part of a policy that I was stunned that somebody actually voted that way. Like, I don't know anybody who does not agree with climate change. I mean, I've been an advocate of climate change since I lived in Nelson, for example, and raising children there. Like, I don't understand that, but I know myself personally, and I assure, you know, people at Kootenai Columbia that I am all on board with climate change. I know it's real, and I have a plan that I've presented to the Conservative government, and that is, you know, we need an emission tax. I do not think carbon tax is working at all. In fact, I have seen no success. Mm-hmm. So I think we should tax our high emitters, and that tax was in the research and development on developing green technology, because we have so much. We have a lot of smart people, but we have so much to learn from, for example, solar, that big globe in the sky. I mean, there's a lot of energy that we can extract if we can get better at it. And I think, too, with the emission tax, we also have to be careful of our ranchers and farmers, like dairy and agriculture. Like, some of those people need the heat for what they're doing, and they're on a very small margin of like a 3% profit. So when they start getting carbon taxed to where they're actually losing money, that it just does nothing for our agricultural areas that we have. And then I think the last thing, and I've really been trying to focus on this, this is a global issue. This is not Canada alone. And we really need to work with some of the third world countries especially and say, let us help you develop a program where you are actually doing some carbon capturing and helping you develop cleaner energy so that it helps the globe. Because we could do everything in Canada, and yes, we need to be leaders. I totally agree with that, but we need to work with the international side as well.
So just to clarify in a nutshell, what you're saying is the votes by the delegates are representative of Conservative delegation. This is not the opinion of the Conservative caucus.
Not at all. In fact, we have 120 caucus members and 120 people all agree climate change is real.
We touched a bit last time we talked on the book Not My Party, which was written by Tom McMillan a number of years ago. Tom McMillan, if folks remember, was a former environmental minister for the Mulroney cabinet, which did achieve some unparalleled environmental victories. People wouldn't put environmentalism, environmentalism and conservatism together, but the Mulroney cabinet saved Haida Gwaii. They made it through an enormously challenging acid rain resolution with the U.S. government. But McMillan talks about how the former progressive conservatives are no longer such. They're more Republican conservatives. He's concerned about that. Where, Mr. Morrison, do you land on the conservative spectrum?
Yeah, and we talked about this, that the lost video clip from last week. But I've often been accused of being a far more centric than a lot of our hard right people, and And one area where I am really focusing on is I love living in the Kootenays, and the reason I love it is for the outdoor activities. And you know, we were just talking about like your son playing hockey and being outside and hiking and skiing and fishing and that. And those are what I really enjoy. And I want those for not only my children, my grandchildren and their. So I'm very focused on being way more centric on not only the environment, but also on social areas where I'm a real advocate on the opioid crisis, on helping and developing plans to help our people. I mean, we've had more opioid deaths in British Columbia than we have COVID, and yet we're not getting any airtime on that to be able to help those people who are in those addiction crises to get them to move forward on a premise where they actually recover and become contributing into our society. We're just not there, and I really want to do a lot of work on helping those people out.
We are speaking with MP Rob Morrison from Cranbrook. Just a couple quick questions left to go. You mentioned COVID. There's some concerns that the EU and the United States are getting their vaccines a little quicker, and as soon as you get your vaccine, you do not need to quarantine any place. How come Canada's not quite there yet?
Yeah, our Opposition Day motion, which we'll be voting on this week on Thursday, is exactly that, where we get an opposition. As the opposition, we get a day in Parliament, and it's today, and we're talking about rapid testing and about vaccination. So we're hoping that we get the votes of all the parties to start moving forward in developing a national policy on if you are vaccinated, you do not need to quarantine, and also the rapid testing to open up sectors that are just crying, like our airlines, airports, which are federal, and our border crossings, that's federal. So hopefully we can move forward with some common sense and start opening up our economy so we can get back to work. People really want to get back to work. That's our number one priority.
We mentioned off the air, too, just for folks who were interested, MP Morrison has not had his vaccine shot yet, despite the fact you are, in fact, you know, assisting to run the country. Politicians are not considered frontline workers, so you're waiting until you get to your age group. Speaking of numbers, I was going to say speaking of big numbers, but that would have been a backhanded sort of compliment. What age are you, by the way, MP Morrison?
I am 64.
Big numbers. $382 billion is the figure that folks are dealing with here right now in regards to the national debt we are facing due to COVID. Last question, what would the Conservatives do to deal with what is an unprecedented amount of debt for the country right now?
Yeah, look at, because we have the vaccinations in place, let's start looking at recovery. Number one, we need to talk about recovery. Let's move forward, not just hide behind COVID-19. We're ready to start recovering with our vaccinations. We need to look at our hardest hit sectors that I've talked about, a couple like the airline and some of our manufacturing. Small businesses, we live on that. You walk downtown Nelson or any other small community, you know that's the backbone of our communities. We need to support them and help them grow. And the last thing is career opportunities. We need to start looking at how do we advance our economy so that we can bring in not only investment, which we need to pay the debt back, but also provide some career opportunities for our youth.
Is increased taxation inevitable given an enormous figure this size?
Well, the Liberals just asked for another $800 billion, so that'll top us off at $1.9 trillion, and we do have to pay that back. That's a known fact. So yeah, I've not heard any plan on how to pay that back. I know that we're looking at the Conservatives are looking at a decade of taxing to pay it back. And the more industry we have in Canada, and the more better our economic growth, the better the tax system on business corporations and not on the individuals. So that's where the Conservatives want to go.
MP Rob Morrison with us today from Cranbrook. Mr. Morrison, thanks an awful lot. I hope the sun's shining over there like it is here.
It is a beautiful day, and Darren, thanks for having me on. I really, really appreciate it, and I really enjoyed my visit there last week. I'll make sure I stop in when I'm in Nelson, which I am in Nelson quite frequently.
Well, we'll see you in April when the flowers are out.